Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
Welcome back to Southern Gospel News Podcast, SGNP, Darren Sutherland, on this rainy Tuesday afternoon in Atlanta, Georgia. And as I always, I'm talking to my buddy, Arthur Rice of the Kingdom Heirs, who's winding down the winter tour, so to speak. Aren't you, Arthur?
Yeah, man. Eight dates.
How many more dates?
Eight. If you're counting.
And we're going to be talking to a little group today that's just starting their big tour in life on the Southern Gospel Circuit, The Sound. Yep. Rob, Jacob, and Levi. And Arthur, you know these people a lot better than I do. And tell folks what they're in for.
Oh, it's going to be good. I've known Rob, you know, since King's Boys days, but known his family, you know, for a while, and good kids, good family.
I first seen The Sound at the National Quartet Convention last year, where they let them get up and sing one song or so.
Yeah.
And when I saw them on stage, and Jacob and Levi, when I saw their ages, and I saw the way they carried themselves on stage, it sort of reminded me of when, without the instruments now, okay? Mm-hmm. But it reminded me the energy of when the Crab family hit the stage back in Louisville when that first happened. Mm-hmm. You remember those days,
oh, yeah.
Okay? And everybody turned heads and says, who is this? What do we expect? You know, and you remember when the Crabs came along, it was like, who are these people? What are they all about? But The Sound's a little bit different, but yet they've got the same presence and the same it factor. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
And anyway, so we'll talk to Rob, Jacob, and Levi in just one second. Hey, if you hadn't checked us out on Facebook, make sure you do. Southern Gospel News Podcast. You can go to our Twitter, SGNP Podcast. You can listen to our website. And I need to apologize for last week. We had technical difficulties, so we couldn't get the show out. But we're going to redo it, and we were talking to Doug. What's Doug's last name, Arthur? Oh, my Lord, have mercy, it's just brain freeze.
Doug Rourke,
well, old Pat.
I was trying to remember who we interviewed.
Doug's on there. Oh, yeah, they're my friends. I can't even remember my thing. But we talked to Doug Rourke. We're going to have to get him back on. We had some technical difficulties with that recording. We'll get that redone soon. But, Doug, we appreciate it, my friend. We'll get you back out here and talk to you some more. We got some more great stuff coming out, always on SGNP. You can go to our website, www.southerngospelnewspodcast, and pick out any interview you want. We've got some other fun ones coming up in a few weeks. Next week, got some good stuff. And let's go ahead and move right along. Here's a song that you'll like from The Sound if you've never heard them. When we're back, we'll be on the phone with Rob, Levi, and Jacob. The Sound on SGNP.
Have you ever stared down a mountain too tall to climb? No way to get over, no matter how hard you try. But somehow the Lord got you to the other side. Can I get a witness? Have you stood on the banks of a Red Sea, wrestling doubt? 'Cause it's too far to swim and too wide to get around. But the good Lord brought you through all. dry ground. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody wanna testify? Can I get a witness? Are you standing in a fire and the flames won't let you go? But you're still holding on to a single thread of hope.
Welcome back to Southern Gospel News Podcast. Darren Sutherland and my host, the SGMA president, lead singer extraordinaire of the Kingdom Heirs, Arthur Rice. Arthur, I forgot to ask you this, and I probably should have asked you this in opening segments. Have they announced the Hall of Fame inductees yet?
No, not yet.
Do you know who won? Do you know who won?
No, I have no idea. Committee meets in a few weeks.
You got no idea?
I have no idea.
You couldn't even give us a little hint?
I have no idea. I haven't even seen the list.
You got any leads?
No. No. Seriously, I haven't even looked at it. I haven't looked at any of the ballots. I hadn't even seen the first one.
Man, good man. On the phone with us from up, I don't know if he's in Chicago, in Florida, where they're at. Rob, where are you guys at today? The sound's with us. How are you, my friend?
Hey, we're doing excellent. We're actually in Florida today, so we're enjoying this. I think it's about 85 right now, so
that's
not too bad.
Now, the question for a gospel music group I always have is, what part of Florida are you in? You know, they always say I'm in Florida, but, nine times out of ten, they don't even know what city. It's wherever the bus took them.
Yeah. Well, I drove the bus in, so I know right where I'm at. I'm in Avon Park, Florida, is where we are located right now.
Nice. Rob, tell the folks that don't know, go ahead and give them a little bit of background on the sound and on you guys and, you know, everything about you.
Sure. Well, the sound was formed out of the Houston, Texas area around 85 is when they were formed, and they came out with their debut project then. But they've had some great people that have come through
come through the ranks. Pat Hoffmaster, Rick Strickland, Scott Fowler, Jeff Chapman, just a lot of great guys that have come through here. And
because back in the day, they started as a quartet.
Oh, that's right. That's my son Levi right here with me, too. Yeah. They started out as a quartet, and I joined in 1990. And from 1990 through the end of 92, I was with them. I was the lead singer for the group. And then the ministry carried on until, I want to say, 2005 or 6, somewhere in there. And then they all retired out. And so the ministry sat pretty much dormant for a little while. And, you know, the boys and I decided that the Lord was calling had a calling on us to go out and to present the gospel through gospel music. And, you know, we were searching for a name at the time, and the name The Sound was available. And since I had already been a part of The Sound, it just felt like a natural fit. And the guy that owned The Sound at the time, John Summer, we talked, and he's like, yeah, please take it on. And so it's an honor for us to take on the ministry of The Sound and to go out and present it as a father-son trio. And so, you know, I get to do this with my two boys. So that's a great blessing in my life to be able to do that.
So basically, if you had the opportunity that you could have just took it, Rob, and just said, hey, we're not going to be The Sound anymore. We're going to be the – what's y'all's last name, Rob, if you don't mind me? Mills. You could have said, we're the
Mills. Mills.
You could have said, you could have just said, we're the Mills. But you felt impressed to keep the legacy of The Sound alive. Now, you're in Michigan. The Sound was from Texas. When did y'all move and get all that part done?
Well, and so in 1990,
they were still in Texas when you got when we took it over. And then whenever we did decide to take it over, that we carried everything up to Michigan with us. So that all transferred over to us. And since we're from Michigan, that's where The Sound became based out of.
That's right.
That makes
sense.
In June of 92,
got married. My wife is from Michigan. And so at the end of 92, when I left The Sound, I moved to Michigan, and that became our home. And so that's how we became affiliated with the Michigan part.
Now, guys, I know your background, Rob, because Arthur knows your background. But why Southern gospel music? I mean, you're in Michigan. Why not contemporary? Why not other forms? But it's all Christian music to begin with. But why go down? Let's just face it. If the world's going to look at a musical genre, Southern gospel is a pretty hard road to go. Because you've already mentioned, you guys have been doing this for a while now, and for lack of a better word, you've had great success, but here lately is when you've been getting the most, shall we say, acclaim, if that's a lack of a better word. And with other genres, you seem to move a little faster. Why Southern gospel? What's the love of the Southern gospel industry for you guys?
Well, here's the interesting part about Southern gospel is Jake and I, we have a lot of different musical influences, but Southern gospel's always been kind of centrally located in terms of our musical interest. It's something that we grew up on. We had obviously our dad was involved in it, and we grew up in a church where the pastor had a great love for Southern gospel. So it was something we were always around. And when it came to it and we decided we were going to go out and sing, Dad really got us into Southern gospel, and that's where we learned to sing and to play. That's the style of music we started in. And when it came time to do The Sound and we were sitting down trying to figure out a musical direction to go, Southern gospel was something that we knew still had to be a theme in what we did. And the reason being is, first of all, it's something that's very important to us. We absolutely love the music. And if you look at, you made the comment, you know, a lot of other genres of music, things seem to happen more quickly. But you also notice that a lot of times people come and go. They might start out and they might get a lot of momentum very quickly. But that momentum usually doesn't last too terribly long. Somebody else comes along in another year or two, and they're the next thing. You know what I'm saying? And that's going to be that way with every genre. But you notice that there's, in, especially in Southern gospel music, and there's a lot of longevity there, and there's a lot of I liken it to being a family. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I know you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, it's just kind of the type of thing where it's a great atmosphere. It's great people to be around, and you can really take a time and get to know everybody and everything that's going on. And that was appealing to us there. But we also look at it and we say, you know, especially with the rise of social media, there's an audience that audience can be expanded greatly. I mean, you can reach a whole lot of people with the click of a button on social media. And that's something that we are very privileged to be able to do, especially through Facebook. I mean, we do a Facebook Live show every week on Tuesday nights. And, I mean, thousands of people every week watch that. And it's just, it's really cool to be able to really not only introduce people, new people, new listeners to Southern gospel music, but to reach the base that's already there, the family that's already there as well.
No doubt. Arthur, what you got?
Well, you guys, you know, you all have kind of dabbled in different, you know, you got into bluegrass for a while. You did a little bit of everything because you guys play instruments.
Right.
And so you kind of landed on Southern gospel. You kind of dabbled with different kind of music growing up. I know you boys played just about anything you hand them. And that's always nice. But that always helped you guys too, because with what, you know, kind of the way you guys got started doing, especially, Lord, y'all live in Florida most of the time.
Yeah, we do. About four and a half months we're down here.
Nice. I wished I was down here 4.5 months. I'd go to spring training games every day. I wouldn't work. You know, I'm just kidding with you. But anyway, so, Rob, tell us your background. You know, you were with the King's Boys, so you got to ride the bus with Arthur. Tell us the first time you can remember riding the bus with Arthur. What was your first impression? Did he scare you to death? What was it? Boy, I always try to get people to tell Arthur, because Arthur's kind of like Southern gospel music's poster child for being the nice guy. You know, he's almost like back in the day when Simon Cowell was on American Idol, Paula Abdul always said nice things, and everybody loved Paula. I have not met a person in Southern gospel yet that doesn't say something nice about Arthur Rice. So tell us some dirt on Arthur there, Rob.
You know, if I had any dirt, I'd get the shovel right out. But I don't have any dirt, actually. Listen, I will say this. I joined the King's Boys in 1987. And when I joined the King's Boys, one of the first things they said is, listen, the true test for you is going to be when we are with the Kingsmen. And and they said, just be prepared. And I'm like, well, okay. And the first date that I was with the Kingsmen was in Michigan. And believe it or not, my wife's first concert to come and see the King's Boys was at that same concert, Fitzgerald High School in Michigan there. But, you know, once I heard them, I'm like, man, I love these guys. I do. And it just became one of those things that I would tell you that the Kingsmen back in the day, especially when Arthur was there, they were my favorite group. They just were. I love the live band. Of course, I'm a musician, but I love the live band. There were times that when we were doing dates together, that Arthur would go up and sing on the front line, and I would take and play the bass then at that point, which I thought was just cloud nine for me, you know, and that was incredible. You know, you're saying that everybody says that Arthur is such a nice guy. And it's true. It really is. That's probably why they have all these things. But one of the things that made such an impression on me, and I was telling Arthur about this, I don't know, it was a couple of months, it might have been around when I was in Nashville for some reason, and that's where convention was the first time I went.
Yeah.
But he and I had stepped out, and it might have been off of their bus, and we were walking over to the convention center when there was a medical emergency. People must have been getting out of work or something like that, but there was a medical emergency. A gentleman was down. He was on the sidewalk. They were waiting for paramedics and stuff to come. And I can remember that Arthur went on the bus and grabbed a pillow off the bus for him to lay his head on while they were waiting for an ambulance to come. And to me, that was I for some reason that this always stuck with me and impressed me. And so, I've always appreciated him. I've always just had a very high regard for Arthur. And I know a lot of people do. And, he would take there were times that, I lived probably an hour and a half away from him over in Weaverville. But there were times that I would be over that way and he would have me and I would spend the night at their place. It was just really an incredible thing. It was a nice. Great impression on me. So it really was.
What, Arthur? Go ahead, Arthur.
I'm just impressed that he remembers that. I don't even remember.
Well, do you remember this part of it, Arthur? Do you remember Hamill getting back on the bus fussing about somebody stealing his pillow?
Probably was. It probably was his pillow. It was a race. They were the first bunk to come to, so.
Yeah, that was great. No, and again, that's one of those things that, some people may not remember, but it just made a lasting impression. He was willing to do something for somebody that needed it right there on the spot.
Nice. Nice. Arthur, what you got?
I've always appreciated Rob and his family. They're just sweet folks and just their faithfulness to stay in it. And I tell you, man, it wasn't easy when you guys started, getting dates and doing stuff.
Oh, like no. Said,
that was tough. No. When I said last week, they put their dues in. They have. I mean, to tell you, they have. And I'm always.
Well, you're exactly right. You have to scratch at it. You're just trying to have a voice, and the thing is we strive to be sort of unique in the approach that we take. I had somebody that had said, hey, listen, you guys should be the next blah, blah, blah. There's already a Greater Vision. There's already a Booth Brothers. There was already a Bishops. There were all of these things. We want to be the sound. We want to be unique in our approach. God has really done unique things through my life and my experience and the experience the boys have and things that we have seen that we might be able to share with people as well. And I'm just thankful that the Southern Gospel family is allowing us to take part in that and to be able to have a voice. Yeah. And to be able to share with folks of the goodness of the Lord and how He's touched our lives. He touches everybody different.
No doubt.
You know, that's a good point you made right there. That becoming yourself and becoming who you are doesn't necessarily happen overnight. You have to build that, especially when you first start out, because, a lot of times you're singing other people's songs and... you've heard them do it, and a lot of times if you're having to use tracks, you're having to use their arrangement until you get right to the point where you have your own music, whether you write it or you have writers that give you songs, and then you can kind of start developing exactly who you are, because up until that point you become bits and pieces of everybody, and I think You have to grow into that, developing exactly who you are, and y'all have done a great job of that.
Well, I appreciate that,
Rob. Before we segue over and talk to Levi and Jacob, I want to ask you this question and remove yourself from being the proud dad of two young guys singing gospel music with you. But how important is it for someone your age to be singing with someone younger in the gospel music world today? How important is that, do you think?
Are you talking about the importance of passing down?
I'm talking about the importance of, you know, we've got younger folks coming up singing gospel music. There's so many folks, I'm 50 years old. There's so many folks my age and Arthur's age trying to make it in the business, but yet they're trying to make it with folks their age and a little bit older. You know what I'm saying? We've got younger folks like Levi and Jacob that are coming along that are really tearing it up. How important is it to have someone younger in your group that can hold that mantle where millennials will actually reach out and listen? Not that they won't listen to the Kingdom Heirs, but let's face it, it's easier for them to reach out to their peers than it is for somebody their mom or dad's age to reach out to their peers. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I liken it to where if I were to go out here on the street and begin to try to minister to folks, the younger generation that's out there, they will have a disconnect with me just because of my age. They just will. And so I think it truly is important to have younger people that are, especially that are interested in this genre of music, interested in this style, that come up behind us. The mere reason that we changed the name to The Sound, we did start off the end of 2011 as the Rob Mills Family, and the boys were quite a bit younger. Now they are 21 and 22. And at the end of 2016, we sat down and just began to question them and say, hey, what do you feel that the Lord is doing for your life? What do you feel that he's calling you to as a future? And both of them, without hesitation, were like, we feel that this is what we want to do. This is what God is calling us to do. Then that's where I began to sit down and say, you know what? It doesn't need to have my name on it. They have a lot longer ministry life cycle than I do. You said you're 50, I'm 53. So, you know, truthfully, they have a lot of years ahead of them. And I feel great, and I don't see me doing anything else right now, but I do realize that every year that goes by, I'm getting older. And so I'm thankful that
it's tiring that they want time, isn't it?
I'm thankful that they want to do this, and I want to encourage them and at every turn that I can to help them to succeed and to be prosperous in this ministry, be prosperous for the kingdom. I will say this: I'm equally as thrilled with folks like Arthur and Michael Booth and Scott Fowler that step in and they pour into to Levi and Jacob and encourage them and push them out and say, listen, you can do this. This is something that you're able to do. And so that the doors are open for them to be able to do that, I'm very grateful, very thankful for that. Yeah.
I watched the guys they were Dollywood last year, and so I went over to see them a couple of times. And the one thing that I was impressed by, even though the crowd was mixed with some young people and some older people, they had the whole crowd just eating out of their hands. I mean, they just, everybody loved them. It didn't matter the age. There was no age limit. The boys just had them. I mean, they just loved them. And that's cool to see, is when you can bridge that gap. That takes real talent to be able to do that, where you can reach both age groups simultaneously. It says a lot about how God is using
no
you.
No doubt.
Yeah.
The boys are there with you, right, Rob? Are they, Rob, is Jacob and Levi there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, put the one on with the on with the long hair first.
Hey, that's me,
Levi.
Levi.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question, okay? And I'm just going to be frank with you. When your daddy was coming along in Carolina back in the day, when Arthur was coming up in North Georgia, and I was coming up in Atlanta, boy, we wouldn't even got in the church house without long hair. Man, I'm jealous. I ain't going to lie to you. Arthur, you're just a little bit jealous.
You know,
You know, I believe, Dad, didn't you say that one of the requirements for you joining the Kings Boys was you had to get a haircut? Well, yeah.
Couldn't touch you.
When they approached me to be in the Kings Boys, that was one of the first things they said. You're going to have to cut your hair. And at the time, I think it wasn't even allowed. You could barely touch your collar. I think it was kind of what the requirement.
Hey, I had to go to the barbershop 3 times before I could get on the bus.
I know.
You probably had to bring a carton of cigarettes, too, if you don't know the truth about it. But we'll leave that story for another day. Hey, Levi. No, let me ask you this. Serious business. Have you got any flack over it? Be honest.
Okay, so I'll tell you this. I really haven't. And believe it or not, I get a lot of people saying that they like it, which is I was kind of surprised by. But the reason that I grew it out in the first place is because I was in a musical last year. I was in a production, and it fit the role that I was in. So I grew it out for that. And then around the same time, we had all of our promotional pictures and everything done, and it was just kind of the type of thing where if it's on the promo pictures, that's what it is, I guess. But it's kind of neat because it's something that does kind of, it's kind of becoming something that people recognize me, you know, and it's kind of interesting in that respect that people recognize. For instance, you said, where's the one with the long hair? So, but that was kind of interesting. So it's, you know, it's neither here nor there to me. I could take it or leave it, but I'm having fun with it, I guess.
I mean, hey, guess what? We all know Guy Penrod's hair, don't we? What color is it, Arthur? Great. And it's as long as my wife says, okay? So, I mean, you know, that's his brand. So, I mean, Levi, you've done something, because if I'm sitting here and I say, hey, who's the guy with the long hair? Well, you know, you're not singing with the inspirations here. You're singing with the sound. So, hey, it is what it is. Let me ask you guys this, Jacob and Levi. You're in Michigan growing up, and you're singing this art form of music that we down here in North Carolina and Tennessee and Georgia and Alabama call Southern Gospel. Is it safe to say that folks up there don't refer to it as Southern gospel? They refer to it more as Christian music or Christian country music, or do they refer to it as Southern gospel? And in your mindset, what do young people, what do they say about what kind of music y'all sing?
Well, it's known as Southern gospel. Yeah. It is. That's what they call it up there. That's when you talk about Southern gospel in Michigan, it can be a little bit foreign to them, as far as that's not necessarily the style that's in a lot of churches and everything up there. That's usually not what it is, but they would know it as Southern gospel. So that is still what they call it. But that's always, like I say, that's something that's it's interesting that they know what that is. You know, they may not be totally familiar with it, but when they listen to it, they recognize that that's what it is. So it is a little bit interesting in that respect that it's just not something they're as familiar with. You know what I'm saying? Because of course down south, it's just something that a lot of people either grew up listening to, or they've gone to concerts before. They know what it is. But up there, you know, they know what it is, but they're not necessarily familiar with it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people. But believe it or not, there are fans up there for Southern gospel music. I mean, and they are some passionate fans up there with Southern gospel.
They're rabid, I think. But because of the fact that, you know, and Arthur and I have talked about this a lot of times, being in the Southeast, there's not a week that goes by within 30 miles of Atlanta, Georgia, that I can go hear a major group somewhere sing. Okay, somewhere. In Michigan, it's not that way every single week, okay, no matter where you are. I mean, you're not getting a major group within 30 miles of your house. You follow me? Now, you may have to travel a little bit. Who was some of y'all's musical influences, non-gospel, I mean, growing up? Who did you listen to?
Oh, well, biggest one growing up would be Rascal Flatts. Nice.
That was something we always
big one for that. Yeah, Eagles.
The Eagles is probably, I would say, probably Jake and I's biggest influence is the Eagles. That's their harmonies and everything else. I mean, they really
truthfully, they were some of the ones that introduced that into popular music, right. You know, outside of, I mean, their harmonies were very iconic. Yeah. And they were very instrumental in introducing that kind of style to the masses back in the 70s. They were, we love listening to the Eagles. James Taylor is somebody that Jake really likes to listen to, his guitar playing and his singing and writing. But I'm telling you, I know they've done gospel stuff before, but especially some of their country stuff. People like the Gatlin Brothers and Alabama was somebody that Dad listened to that we listened to growing up. So
the Kingdom Heirs,
absolutely.
Let me tell you who you kind of remind me of. In musical style, and you're gonna think I'm crazy.
Who's
Third
that?
Day.
Oh, okay. I can hear that a little bit.
When I hear "Can I Get a Witness," very similar rhythms. I mean, you know, it sounds just like, you know, Mark Lee, you know, Mac Powell kind of stuff. It really does to me. And Arthur, I don't mean that negatively at all. I mean, we had Mac on the show about a year ago, and he talked about his gospel music influences, but I mean, it's especially with the progressive nature of your music. It sounds great.
Listen to this. It's interesting that you say that, because on our Make It Count record that we just released a couple of months ago, there's two cover songs on the whole project. There's 10 songs. I think two of them have been previously recorded, and one of them is a Third Day song. It was on their, I think it was on one of the last things that they did before they retired. And it was called Great God Almighty. And that's one that they did. That's one of their songs. So it's interesting that you say that, because out of the cover songs that out of the two that we did, one of them was Third Day.
Nice. Rob, you've been in this business a long time. Do you see the music? You know, it used to all be separated in compartments. You had your Southern gospel here, you had your contemporary here, you had your country here. Do you see it morphing all into one stream of music more so today than you did back in the 80s when you started?
Well, in the industry, I'm not for sure in the industry, in all the gospel music industries, if they will ever morph into one. I'm not for sure of that. I will tell you that I have found that even though Arthur will know what I'm saying when I say this, you contact larger churches a lot of times, and they would feel that this is probably an older style of music. Southern gospel would be an older style of music that they are more of a contemporary church, so that they wouldn't readily have in what we do outside of Special Friendship Day or something like that. But I will tell you that the churches that do open up to have folks like us in, their people love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. And it's not just the older generation that loves it. It's our age group. It's younger. Those kinds of things, especially coming in with younger, you know, Levi and Jacob being younger as well. To come in and to be able to be in front of them, if they ever open up to allow their folks to hear it, their folks love it.
Yeah.
So
granted, we're not necessarily your typical Southern gospel show. I mean, there's a lot of elements. You talk about the lines to a certain extent, the musical lines being blurred a little bit, and there's a certain element to what we do. That does draw on different influences, even though it is under this umbrella of Southern gospel. But it's interesting to note how when Southern gospel, a lot of times people have not really heard Southern gospel before, especially like we talked about up in Michigan. But it's interesting to note, like he was saying, that when they do hear even traditional quartet singing Southern gospel music, they absolutely eat it up. They love it. And it's interesting to note that when something is in its pure form like that, when you get that nice tight harmony that's really not going anywhere from Southern gospel. I mean, that's something that is very very distinctive of Southern gospel music is that nice harmony. I'm telling you, people just absolutely eat it up. So it's interesting to note that even though what we do can kind of blur the lines just a little bit, we don't necessarily think that that anything's ever completely that you can't see the line anymore. You know [S2] Yeah. [S1] What I'm saying? Because obviously there are still different musical genres and subsets and all that kind of thing. But you know, drawing from different influences is really very, very, very fun, and we're able to take some of the best of what we love about Southern gospel and introduce it to folks that are Jake and I's age. You know what I'm saying? And it's just a fun thing to do.
It is interesting too. That Southern gospel has actually embraced other forms of gospel as well. For instance, your contemporary and your worship. I mean, you have, you know, Triumphant and Gold City and different people that have recorded popular songs from the contemporary world and have done quite well with them. And the Southern gospel fans have really, they've appreciated it as well. I think obviously they love the songs.
Yeah. You know, something interesting happened to us a few years ago. We sang at a church down in Florida, over toward Tampa. And, we did a Sunday night. The church, the regular church didn't have a Sunday night service, so they had a special concert. And we had it was packed the house. It was a mixed crowd, young people, older people, just a great. And man, that is just like you say, they really didn't know what to expect, but man, they loved it. And they were just, I was just thrilled with the response that we were getting. And what are your typical people that, you know, it's more people associating Dollywood with us than they were, Southern gospel. And right at the end of the service, the pastor gets up and says, "We would love to have you back at our church service on whatever days they have." And then he said, "Now I'll just tell you, you won't hear any music like this at all." I mean, he was just blunt. I mean, he's just, "You won't hear any of this kind of music in our church, but we would love to have you." And it was just, it blew my mind. And then at the end of the service, I said something. I said, "Man, we'd love to come back." And he said, "Yeah, we probably won't. You just don't fit our style." And I was like, "Right, okay." So, but it was the people were just, they bought everything we had. I mean, it was just like, what do you need? Here's your sign. You know, what are you missing?
Let me tell you, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but it's like, you know, a lot of times there's this, and it's not necessarily with the people so much as it is a lot of things. But a lot of times people don't want to have in Southern gospel music, and I'm not sure necessarily why that is, because I've always noticed that it's something that people really tend to grab a hold of.
I know,
and they really like it.
I don't get it either.
And I don't know if that's because there's a lack of it and they just don't hear it very often and they just love it when they do, or I've just not quite been able to figure that out.
Arthur, here's something else that I'll remind you of too. You know, if we talk to Charlie Daniels, if we talk to Marty Rayburn, if we talk to T. Graham Brown, if we talk to Jimmy Fortune, they hold the music in such reverence, and it's almost like they respect it in such a way and hold it in such a reverent place.
Yeah.
That quite frankly, I'm just being honest with you, since we've went here, that a lot of our fans, I don't think, hold it in such a reverent place because they get it all the time and because they can reach and touch it so much. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think that does make a lot of sense. It really does, yeah.
Since we're talking about it, I think sometimes it's, you know, some people ask, you know, how do we grow a younger fan base in our genre? And, you know, I don't know if there's a cookie cutter way to do it, but I think one of the things that we're up against is a lot of times, you know, churches feel that hymns are old fashioned, or this kind of music is old fashioned, which I would disagree with, but I think that's the perception that's out there. And not all churches, not by no means are all churches, but I'm saying there is a whatever fill in the percentage numbers. There would be those that would feel this in old fashioned music and those kinds of things. But I think if you could ever get it in front of their people, I think they would realize that it is it's a lot more popular than what they realize.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just look at this in the pop world. I mean, there's an a cappella group that, I mean, all they do is these harmony arrangements, you know. And I'll tell you one thing, there are some Southern gospel and quartets and everything else that have some stellar harmonies. And I mean, people like it a lot. I mean, and that harmony aspect of it is something that I think people grab a hold of, but, there's some people in Southern gospel, that just do it extraordinarily well. And, I think that when people hear that, Kingdom Heirs being an example, I mean, it's just something that they'll eat it up. They absolutely love it. They can't get enough of it. And it's something that's evident in the pop world that there's a lack of it. So the group that's out doing that is, I mean, wildly popular, going on arena tours and all sorts of stuff. So,
well, let's just say it this way, and we're going to move on to social media real quick, because we got to get out of here, and I want to hear y'all's take on it, because y'all have done so well with it. When Carrie Underwood sings softly and tenderly, Jesus is Calling, and it goes on YouTube, and it's got 200 million downloads, preacher, guess what? Folks like hymns, okay? Let's just leave it at that, we'll just leave it at that and go from there. Guys, you've made a name for yourself on social media, okay? You do a concert every week.
Yeah.
Is social media going to be the continuing way that the sound promotes their group and gets out there more and more? And have you seen an influx in your concerts in areas you haven't went because of social media boost and promotions through social media?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And social media and music streaming is something that is going to be integral going forward for anybody in the music industry, period. I mean, take genre completely out of it. The music industry is just going that way, and there's nothing that we're going to do to stop it. So I look at it and say, you know, for better or worse, this is where it's going, and how do we maximize the direction that everything's headed for the sound? And social media is one that it's a tricky thing, because you've got to be engaging and you've got to be consistent with it. And making content isn't necessarily something that's an easy thing to do, but reaching people and interacting with people has never been easier. And I mean, think about it, where before people had to leave their house, drive wherever to come and see you, they could sit in their lazy boy on their living room and Tuesday night, 8 o'clock rolls around, and they can with the sound. Yeah. Right.
Don't
let's not visualize, but anyways, so they can watch it up through Facebook. I mean, reaching people has never ever been easier. And I don't know if it's, I don't know where technology's headed, but I don't know if it's going to get any easier. So it's one of those things where I look at so many people in the music industry that don't take advantage of that. And, I just look at it and I'm saying, you know, what are we doing? You know, this is a perfect way to reach out and get to people right where they are. And, it's been integral for us. I mean, we do this Facebook Live videos, and it's probably a 20, 25 minute thing every week, that people tune into, kind of like a TV show. But, it's been something that people recognize us for and that people look forward to. And it's just kind of one of those things where we have, I believe it was, let's see, I think when we started the sound, I think just from what we did part-time as the Mills family for a few years, I think we started with like 1,500 people on social media. And since we started doing those live videos last, let's see, it was June of 2018, so a year and a half ago now. Now, I mean, we're up to over 8,000 people that follow the page, and that's not close to where we would like to be, but that's where we're at. And it's grown pretty, I mean, for a year and a half's time, there are people that are consistently on the page and that, that watch us and interact with us. And I mean, it's a very valuable thing to us to have people that are that invested in what we're doing, on there with us.
No, yeah. No. And every week it's amazing. Every week it's amazing with our social media, with our Facebook Live. The we'll have 250 people watching live, but inside of about 5-6 hours, we'll have is 5,000 people that will watch it. So, yeah. So it really is an amazing thing to be able to reach out. Arthur can testify to this too. If you have 5,000 people at a concert, that's a pretty good concert. So.
That is a good night of table sales, as Arthur would say, on 5,000 people at a concert. Guys, we could go on, we could talk for hours, but time's kind of limited. So, you know, people look down, they see a podcast, and they say, man, an hour and 45 minutes. I'm not listening to that whole thing. So they will tell the truth. Y'all been there. Y'all been there. But you know what?
Yeah.
We look forward, and Arthur will agree with this, we look forward to growing with y'all. We really do. We've been doing this podcast for 2 years, okay? We've been blessed to have over 200,000 downloads and 16,000 people follow us on Facebook, okay? We're coming along about the same time, guys. And I want to thank y'all for just opening up and being on the show today and just talking plain for us. But most of all, I want to thank you for your commitment to Jesus and to the cross. Because if it wasn't for that, I mean, all this would be in vain anyway. You agree?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. You might as well find something else
to
do.
That's right. Arthur, what you got? Close it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see how the Lord's going to use you guys. I just think there's great things in store, and excited to be part of it.
Arthur, start thinking this is how Foxy felt when he seen a new group coming along? Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
You ever start thinking about that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And he, you know, the great thing about it is, man, he would just, anytime somebody knew, you know, that you saw and you saw the potential in them, man, he just jumped on it. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to stand away from it because they could be bigger than I am. It was never that. It was never that. If anything, he pushed you to be better.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I will say this too. I will say this too in my life. And Arthur, you guys have always been that. You and even your days with the Kingsmen, especially when I was growing up. And well, I shouldn't say growing up. I was a young man. I don't think we're all that much different in age. But the thing that I always appreciated is the strive for excellence. And that's one of the things that I have really pushed the boys with as well. Striving for excellence. Don't settle. You need to work at your craft and those kinds of things, because it is very important. And not only is it important for you, but it's important because you're going to be able to share that with the people that are becoming behind you, and there'll be people coming behind you at some point. And you need to be an encouragement to them as well. And so, you know, I try to encourage my two boys for that. And, you know, you talked about Foxy and Hamill and all those guys. They did the same kind of thing. And it pushed you for excellence. Yeah. And even though you may not see it at the time, when you finally get to a place in your life where you look back and reflect a little bit, you are very much able to see that. And so I've always appreciated that with you, Arthur, as well.
Well, it's, you know, I have groups, you know, that I work with, and so many of them ask, you know, because a lot of times, you know, they're like, Darren, you know, they see you guys and just all of a sudden you're right out here in front, just all of a sudden, but they don't know your past. They don't know the years that you guys put in to get to this point. And, you know, that's my main thing is I always try to, you know, you cannot shorten experience. You have to, you know, sometimes, I mean, there's one in a million, but very seldom. You know, you have to look at the whole picture of it to see how it comes together.
No doubt.
That's right.
No doubt. Well, Rob, Jacob, Levi, thank you for your time today. Thank you for being a part of Southern Gospel News Podcast. Gospel music's in good hands with groups like you coming up. And I want to thank you guys for your time. And come back and be with us sometime. Will you do that?
Oh, absolutely. We'd love to do it. This is fun.
Anytime. Hey, cousins, this is your pal, Country Radio Hall of Fame DJ Moby, and you're listening to my buddy Darren Sutherland on SGNP. Yeah, baby.
SGNP is brought to you by Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. More information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ.
Standing at the banks of the Red Sea, Hebrew children all around. A Pharaoh coming up right behind him, said, "Move, I'm gonna watch you drown." But before old Pharaoh got there, Moses looked up to the sky, lifted up his hands to heaven, and this is what he cried. God Almighty, won't you save your children? Lord in heaven, won't you lend a hand? Ain't no way we're gonna do this without you. By your Spirit, I know we can. By your Spirit, I know we can. David about to fight him, Goliath. That giant stood 10 feet tall. Don't know how he ever could deny it. David must have felt oh so small. But before he threw those stones, David whispered him a prayer, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and this is what he said. He said, "Great God Almighty, won't you save your children? Lord in heaven, won't you lend a hand? Ain't no way we're gonna do this without you. By your Spirit, I know we can. By your Spirit, I know we can." God Almighty, won't you save your children? Lord, won't you lend a hand? Ain't no way we're gonna do this without you. By your Spirit, I know we can.
Great interview there, Arthur. Good.
Yeah.
Good, Rob.
It was great. Yeah.
You know what? And I'm gonna say this before we close because I know we spent a lot of time with him, a lot more time than we usually spend. But the bottom line is, gospel music's in a good hands. And I said this a couple of weeks ago that I think the Lord's up to something. But when you look at groups like the Three Heath Brothers, you look at groups like the Sound, you look at groups like Jordan Family Band, you look at groups like the Ball Brothers, and you see them rising up in different ways than the Kingdom Heirs or Gold City or Greater Vision or people like that rose up, you know you're in a better place. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a better place per se, but the world's changing But as the world changes, we're still getting the gospel out there.
Yeah.
And for those groups that are upset that the world's changing and their music may not be getting out there, let's just be thankful. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let's just be thankful. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, is that hard?
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
I hope, guess what? I hope there's more groups that rise up like these guys. I hope there's more podcasts that talk about gospel music that rise up like this. I hope there's more influence in the Christian music world. And I'm glad that we just got our little pie on the side of the street and we're having fun with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I've noticed this winter on our tours, and of course it's a little bit different. Our crowd's a little bit different in Dollywood. So, but I've noticed on the road, and I haven't seen this in a while, but our crowd is actually getting a little younger.
Yeah.
We've got a great mix of younger people that are loving this music again. And it's so encouraging to see. And I love it. I think it's great.
Good, man. Well, you know what? You guys and the Kingdom Heirs are one of the cornerstones of the industry, and people love you, man. So anyway, hey, we got to get out of here next week. We don't know who we're going to have, but if we announce it, they'll be on our show and other people's show later. So anyway, it is what it is. But Arthur, what's wrong with living right anyway?
Not one thing.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you. Thanks for listening to SGNP. Hey, Darren Sutherland here for you, and want to tell you about one of our new sponsors to the show. BG Ad Group. That's right. BG Ad Group is one of our sponsors. You say, what in the world is BG Ad Group? BG Ad Group is a public relations, advertising, social media, digital media, traditional media firm that gets information out to folks all across the country. Just Google. I'll give you an example of what they've done for Southern Gospel News Podcast. Google Southern Gospel News Podcast. Look at the organic searches that come up. It's Southern Gospel News Podcast as far as the eye can see. Not just in the top three rankings, but 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They helped us get FeedSpot and helped us get Player FM rank us the number one gospel music podcast in the world. They've created radio commercials for major car dealers from Kia to Nissan to Mazda to Mitsubishi to Ford to GM. All across the country, they've helped us so many ways. If you want to know more about BG Ad Group, call them today. BG Ad Group. Look them up online. BG Ad Group. www.bgadgroup.com or call them 770-874-3200.
He saw the ones around him move when he sat down. As the music softly played Amazing Grace. Last night's fall off the wagon left bruises on his face. So when he felt a hand on his shoulder, he thought he'd sober, but a friendly voice said, "We're glad you're here. Welcome to the First Church of Mercy, where the doors of love swing open wide. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you can come inside. Welcome to the altar of forgiveness, where the fallen can fall and tears take a seat on the front row of grace. You don't have to have it all together here. There's a lot of us who've been right where you are. We all came in scarred. Then the Father reached us with
with the healing hand of Jesus. And now we're all a part of His family. Welcome to the First Church of Mercy, where the doors of love swing open wide. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you can come inside. Welcome to the altar of forgiveness, where the fallen can fall and tears are wiped away. Welcome to the First Church of Mercy. Take a seat on the front row.
If you enjoyed today's podcast here on WLJA and would like to hear more, we urge you to download our weekly podcast and subscribe to Southern Gospel News Podcast from whatever source you receive podcasts, or visit us online at southerngospelnewspodcast.com. For daily fun and games, connect with SGNP on Facebook at Southern Gospel News Podcast or Twitter at SGNP Podcast. And don't forget, for the best in gospel music, listen to North Georgia's local station, WLJA, on your radio, internet, or anywhere around the world with your Alexa or Google Home device. Southern Gospel News Podcast is produced by BG Ad Group, a leader in faith-based podcasts. All rights reserved.